I want to welcome you to the Church of Unity in Christ, a place that we are making a commitment to you to help you become the best that God ordained you to be. I want you to understand something. We're human. We're going to be in here. We're going to make mistakes. We're going to have disagreements. We're going to have different things going on. But I can promise you this. I can promise you as pastor of this church, I'm committed to you becoming the best that God ordained you to be. And I'm committed to loving you in spite of all your failures, misfortunes, all of that. We'll stand right there with you. Once again, I say welcome. Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, and most of all, your love. We ask, Father God, forgiveness of our sins, Lord, and to cleanse us, Father God, of all unrighteousness. I ask, Father God, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be accepted in your sight, Lord. I ask, Father God, that you can use me, Father God, this day for your glory, Lord. That people would not see me, they would see you. They would not hear my voice, Father God, but they would hear your voice, Father God, echoing throughout their hearts. As your word says, Father God, be to knock at the door of their hearts today, Father God. Allow them, Father God, to open up and let you in. And let you reign, Father God, supreme as Lord in their lives. And Father, I thank you for that. Amen and amen. Hello, everyone. It's good to be back in the house of God. As always, let us pause a moment to acknowledge our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I can honestly say that we're in the best company in the world right now. Amen. I would also like to thank you for your presence here. I don't take it for granted. I'm eternally grateful for it. You know, we must understand that all of us as human beings, we love to have encouragement. We love to see people that believe in us and causes us to want to do better, to want us to keep striving, to keep doing what we do. And that's what y'all do for me. When I sit down to study the Word of God, when I pray, when I go out and interact with different people, I got y'all in mind. I think about how y'all being here helps me to let me know that what I'm doing is not in vain. And I'm grateful for that. You know, it's easy to start a business in theory. But when you go out and nobody buy your product, nobody wants to engage in what you're saying or doing, you get to a point where you stop believing in what you're doing. So I want to tell y'all once again, thank you. Amen. We have been embarking upon a series entitled How to Overcome Distraction and the four pillars that helps us to accomplish this. And our first pillar, we talked about recognition. That lesson taught us about the internal as well as the external workings of recognition. It taught us the importance of being honest with our recognition and understanding that our recognition is unique to ourselves. Then we move to the pillar of targeted focus, where we learn that we must zero in and concentrate on a solution to our distraction. We all know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what distraction we may encounter, there's an answer to it. And in the midst of all the chaos and in the midst of all the different moving parts in what's going on in our lives, there's an answer to deal with that particular distraction. Amen. Let me tell you something. last week at the hospital, sitting down there waiting to get some news. As we were sitting in the lobby, my son came to me, he says, Daddy, he said, that lady over there just found out some bad news. Somebody in her family is not gonna make it. He said, what are you going to pray for? Now, I'm in here, the hospital, thinking about what my family is going through. I'm thinking about the impact of if we would get that news, how would we respond to it? Would you bow your heads, please? Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we come this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, and most of all, your love. We ask, Father God, forgiveness of our sins, Lord, and to cleanse us, Father God, of all unrighteousness. I ask, Father God, this morning that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let it be accepted in your sight, Lord. I ask, Father God, that you use me, Father God, this day for your glory, Lord. That people would not see me, that they would see you. They would not hear my voice, Father God, but they would hear your voice, Father God, echoing throughout their hearts, Lord. As your word says, Father God, be to knock at the door of their hearts today, Father God, and allow them, Father God, to open up and let you in. And let you reign, Father God, supreme as Lord in their lives. And Father, I thank you for that. Amen and amen. Hello, everyone. It's good to be back in the house of God. As always, let us pause a moment to acknowledge our Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. I can honestly say that we're in the best company in the world right now. Amen. I would also like to thank you for your presence here. I don't take it for granted. I'm eternally grateful for it. You know, we must understand that all of us as human beings, we love to have encouragement. We love to see people that believe in us and causes us to want to do better, to want us to keep striving, to keep doing what we do. And that's what y'all do for me. When I sit down to study the Word of God, when I pray, when I go out and interact with different people, I got y'all in mind. I think about how y'all being here helps me to let me know that what I'm doing is not in vain. And I'm grateful for that. You know, it's easy to start a business in theory. But when you go out and nobody buy your product, nobody wants to engage in what you're saying or doing, you get to a point where you stop believing in what you're doing. So I want to tell y'all once again, thank you. Amen. We have been embarking upon a series entitled How to Overcome Distraction and the four pillars that helps us to accomplish this. In our first pillar, we talked about recognition. That lesson taught us about the internal as well as the external workings of recognition. It taught us the importance of being honest with our recognition and understanding that our recognition is unique to ourselves. Then we move to the pillar of targeted focus, where we learn that we must zero in and concentrate on a solution to our distraction. We all know that no matter what we're going through, no matter what distraction we may encounter, there's an answer to it. And in the midst of all the chaos and in the midst of all the different moving parts in what's going on in our lives, there's an answer to deal with that particular distraction. Amen. Let me tell you something. last week at the hospital, sitting down there waiting to get some news. As we were sitting in the lobby, my son came to me, he says, Daddy, he said, that lady over there just found out some bad news. Somebody in her family is not going to make it. He said, what are you going to pray for? Now, I'm in here, the hospital, thinking about what my family is going through. I'm thinking about the impact of if we would get that news, how would we respond to it? And my son tells me about this lady's situation. And so I get up, I go over to her. I said, ma'am, if you don't mind, I want to pray for you. She said, I don't mind. And I prayed with her. And you can see the burden of what she heard was kind of lifted. But the thing that stood out to me was my son asking me to go over and pray for this lady. He didn't say pray for my mother or pray for this person. No. He says, even though we're here in the midst of this situation like this, I still can see somebody else that needs some help. Amen. I want you to understand that when you focus on overcoming your distractions, it's not just for you. It's about you allowing yourself to not be so distracted where you can't see everything else. Because somebody needs you. Somebody needs you to just say good morning with a smile on your face. Somebody needs you to encourage them in the midst of their storms. Somebody needs to see you standing firm in the midst of your distractions and all the turmoil that you're going through. They need to see you steady so they can have hope in their lives. Amen. As I went back and I sat down next to my son, I looked around the room of the hospital in a waiting room. And all these people's eyes just were just glazed over. Not because of me. Because God used that opportunity to show people that they're never alone. That no matter what they're going through, no matter where they are in their lives, look, man, we're at the hospital. I don't know the lady. She don't know me. But God created a moment. Amen. It started off as a crisis for us, my family. It became an opportunity. And I thank God for that. Amen. This leads to the third pillar of perseverance. This is persistence in doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I call it faith in action. There are also some synonyms that describe perseverance like tenacity, determination, endurance, commitment, etc. Now, many of us know that when we began to start a task or sit down and write down a specific goal, that we're trying to accomplish something, we know that distractions seem to get more prevalent. Amen. But what we need to do is we need to learn how to execute perseverance. Whether it's a continued effort to do what is necessary to achieve what we try to accomplish, despite the difficulties, the delays, the failures, the opposition. Amen? Now I want you to hear something because, see, we look at the word perseverance and we think, oh, well, I just got to keep pushing. I got to keep on doing it. I got to keep on doing it, keep on doing it. Eventually, I'm going to break through. That's not what I'm talking about. Maybe. Look, man, I can get a hammer and start beating through the wall. Keep beating through the wall, and eventually, there's going to be a hole in the wall. Or I can go to that same wall with a paintbrush and paint a mural. Amen. Why am I saying this? I'm saying there's a reason that we have to focus on what the distraction is for and why the perseverance is necessary, but how you execute it is very important. This is not always about the destination. It's always about the journey. What are you learning on your way to accomplish what God ordained for you? Are you growing, or are you getting better? Or are you being more inclusive? Or are you shutting people off? Amen? So you can get so wrapped up and tied up and trying to accomplish something that you shut out everything else. And we use the word, in the world, they use the word as where I'm focused. That's fine. I got no problem with being focused or having the targeted focus. But it doesn't change the fact that you cannot do anything alone. Amen? You need somebody to help you along the way. That's just how it goes. We talked about several weeks back about the agitator, the person that gets underneath your skin, has you frustrated, making you want to do things that's ungodly. Amen? But as we discover, we need those kind of people. Amen? These are the kind of people that causes us not to get comfortable. Amen? Perseverance is, you can press all you want to, but if I'm pressing towards something, I'm pressing towards something for a specific purpose. But guess what? It's not just for me. It's not just for me. I don't study the Word of God just for me to get better. I study the Word of God to help others get better as well. I don't go to work and get a check just for me. It's about being able to provide for other people too. Amen. Let me tell you something. You don't think you're not providing for other people? Stop going to the gas station buying gas. And enough people stop going to the gas station, what's going to happen to the gas station? It's going to shut down. Stop going to the counter and getting the little fruit snacks you like, or whatever it is. Everything you do, it's not about just you. It's about helping someone else. Amen. I want to emphasize this for this reason. In the world, we talk about perseverance as something that I'm going to stay at it. I'm going to be determined to get this done. And man, there's a lot of people in the world that goes out and accomplishes a lot of good things. But guess what it's about? Got to be bigger than that. Amen. I was in here praying, thanking the Lord for all the people he's brought in my life and the contribution they made. But the thing that got me was that I said, okay, man, I hadn't been that good for God to send these kind of people in my life to help me along the way. But then God had to remind me, this ain't about you. It's not about you. I'm sending these people to help you because this devil is going to do. It's going to help somebody else. Amen. I might not even see it. But one day somebody may get their lives to the Lord. Somebody may be able to avoid a tragedy. Somebody may learn how to overcome distraction. Somebody may understand their wealth. They'll understand their value. Somebody one day may understand some things and see the world totally different based on what we're doing right here. So I want to tell y'all again, thank you. And I want y'all to thank the Lord for allowing you to be here, giving you a place at the table to be able to one day look back and say, you know what? At this particular time in my life, I was doing this. But now, look where I am now. And just like you came in and you poured into somebody else, God is going to send somebody to pour into you. Amen. Because guess what? It's not just about you. Amen. Let us look back at Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood for their example of perseverance. We're aware of their example of recognition and targeted focus from our previous lesson. Look with me to Mark chapter 5, beginning at the verse 22. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 22. There you will find these words. A leader of the synagogue came, his name was Jairus. He saw Jesus and bowed down before him. He begged Jesus again and again, saying, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and lay your hands on her, then she will have, she will be healed and will live." Man, this passage, as studied before, we highlighted Jairus' position in the meeting place or the synagogue. We highlighted the recognition of his daughter dying as his distraction. We also highlighted that because Jairus must have seen a miracle performed by Jesus, this caused Jairus to make Jesus his targeted focus and the solution to his distraction. Now we look to Mark 5:22d, and this is what you're going to find here. You're going to find bow down before him. We're going to focus on that at this moment. This passage introduces the term bow down. This is getting into a prostrate position, as in submission. Now, what is submission? When we talk about submission, this is not the act of presenting something for consideration or judgment. No. The submission we're talking about here is, in this passage, is the yielding to a higher authority or the will of another. Now, this word right now, submission, is a hard word for a lot of people to deal with. Let me give you an example. When you get married, you're supposed to submit one to another. That's not me, that's Bible, right? Let me give you an example. I'm going to give you the scriptures. This is what it says. It says, "Wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord," right? Huh. I'm not going to submit to no man because, you know, I don't need no man. Well, I make more money than him, and oh, he's going now. But there was a point for the man, right? I'm not telling you to submit to a man that's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Hey, man, I'm finna tell you what the man's supposed to be doing. When he's doing that, you must submit to it. Husbands, love your wife as Christ loved the church and was willing to die for it. If your husband is willing to die for you, if your husband is doing everything he can to make sure that you're happy, secure, and have everything you need, amen, that you can trust your husband, you can submit to him. When your wife is doing everything that she's supposed to be doing as your wife, you're supposed to take care of her above yourself. That's not me, that's Bible. Amen. I'll get into greater detail when I do the series entitled The Marriage That God Made. Amen. It's important because we have to understand something. The word submissive has gotten to a point where it has a negative connotation. But it shouldn't. It's so negative because it's so negative that when people come to Christ, they don't even want to submit to Christ. They don't want to submit to him as their Savior, as their Lord. But the key to all of it is trust. Do you trust your wife? Do you trust your husband? Do you trust God? Do you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? Because when you get to that place in your life, you have no problem with submitting. I want you all to see something. Jairus is a man in authority. This man got people that are following his orders. This man knows that if he go in and say something, the people going to follow what he says. Because they submitted to what? To his authority. This man sees someone in greater authority than him. He needed to surrender to that authority to accomplish what he needed. Amen? Why am I saying this? See, when you're talking about going out and you're trying to persevere, perseverance means you got to submit to something. Yeah. You don't just go out and just start pressing towards something without submitting to something. Amen? When I submit to, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In this church, in trying to establish what God ordained for this church, that's what I had to do. I had to surrender to it. Amen? I had to surrender to it. I had to submit to the authority of what's going on here. Not my authority, but the higher authority. And no matter what goes on, guess what I got to do? I got to stay humble. I can't go out and treat people any kind of way. I can't go out and because you part of the church and, oh, you're going to listen to do what I say. No, that's not how this is supposed to be done. The higher authority in the church is the word of God. Not William Evans' word. God's word. Amen? Because guess what? Every one of us in the body of Christ is subject to the word of God. Amen? You can submit to it all you if you want to. Or you can rebel against it. That's up to you. Amen? So Jairus gets to the point where he says, okay, I see someone that is in authority, that's able to command the things that are necessary for me to be able to accomplish what I need to accomplish. Now, Jairus, the Bible says, bowed down in a prostrate position as in submission to Jesus. Is that correct? Amen? Now watch this. All of us know that we as children of God, as human beings, are social creatures. We just are. We have to interact with each other. Right? Now let me ask you this. If you are in a relationship with someone and I'm trying to be delicate in this because it's key to understanding where I'm going with this. There are people in the world that are very aggressive people, right? They got to be the head. They got to be the ones that's driving the train. They got to be the ones driving the car. They got to be the ones that's driving everything, right? Then you got these submissive people. These people, they're not a driver train. They're not a driver car. They got to do these different things, right? But they're not the type of people that want to be confrontational, right? Now, there's a time in your life, in all of our lives, that you're going to allow these two people that's already in every one of us, they're there. They're there. Hello? Let me say it again. All of us got these two spirits in us, being aggressive and being submissive. But there got to be a balance there. If I come in, I'm always telling my wife, oh, I'm the head of the house, I'm the man, and I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that, and you need to do this, you need to do that, and I'm just walking around, you know, just bossing around and all that. That ain't going to work. Not long at all. Amen? There will be times I'm going to have to be submissive. Baby, don't worry about this. Don't worry about that. I got this. I got that. Right? But it works both ways. It's not about who's in control or who's in charge. It's about understanding that at certain particular times, certain people should be doing certain things. In my house, this is what I understood. And I'm going to use finances as an example. In my house, I discovered whoever was better with the finances, that's who controlled the finances. Not because I'm better than you or you better than me or this. No. If I'm good at something, that's what I do. If you good at it, that's what you do. Amen? That ain't hard for y'all, is it? Is it? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you got a woman or a man that like to spend money all the time, get what you need. Somebody to say, hold up, wait, whoa, time out. I'm going to take care of the money. I don't spend it like that. I'm not looking at the money as of this week right here. I'm looking at the money going to last her for 3 weeks, a month. Amen? Yeah, I understand you like these certain things, but hold on a second. We can't afford that right now. What are we going to do? We're going to save our money for this. We're going to manage for that. We're going to cut back on this. We're going to cut back on that. Amen? Now, watch this now. Now, I know y'all must be wondering in y'all mind, what they got to do with Jairus? A lot. Because Jairus had a way of doing things. Is that correct? He a man of authority. He had a way of doing things the way he was doing it, based on the authority that was given him. Jairus meets Jesus. Everything that Jairus was doing as a man of authority, it changed. Why? Because he surrendered to the authority of another. Amen? Now watch this. There's something we got to understand. In order to truly submit, male or female, I don't care if you're 3 years old or 80. Trust got to be there. You got to trust whoever it is. I don't know about anybody else, but see, I got an older kid. My kids are grown. When my kids were growing up, whatever I said, that's what it was. They just, my daddy said that's what it is. Like many of us, we got older. Our parents say stuff. What do? Did we just submit to it? No, we challenged it. Hold up, wait, hold. No, see, I'm grown now. I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to do that. Right? Same advice. All of a sudden, now something changes. I'm older now. So I don't have to listen to that. My grandmother told me something a long time ago. She says, be careful who you hang around. Because everybody around you is not good for you. I understand, Mama. I said, but that was back in your day. That was the old day. That's what I told. It's a new day now. A couple of weeks later, guess what I said? Mama, you're right. So I got to a point where at an age where my mind starts saying that I can challenge certain things. I'm old enough now to do things my way, and I can do this. I'm not telling you to surrender to anybody or anything. That's not what I'm telling you. What I'm telling you is this, is that you can trust the word of God. You can trust God. You can trust Jesus. You can trust them to give your life to them and trust that whatever they say, that's what it is. So you can submit to them. Amen? Now watch this. We know that Jairus submitted to Jesus and Jesus was following him to his house, and we know that we are introduced in the 5th chapter of Mark in the 25th, 26th verse to a woman with the issue of blood. She'd been bleeding for 12 years. Suffered a lot. Tried every doctor she could. Spent all the money. Wasn't improving. In fact, she was getting worse. But I want you to look at this 27th verse. Because we know that submission has to be part of perseverance. But we also got to have faith as part of perseverance. In that 27th verse, the woman heard about Jesus. So she followed him with other people and touched his coat. She thought, if I can just touch his clothes, that will be enough to heal me. This woman set a goal in her mind by faith to do something that to us may seem easy. Just to touch him. Now think about that. And I want you to think about the fact that all she said was, if I can just touch him. She's not talking about something that to us sounds like it's catastrophic, that oh man, that's impossible. She says something to us seems so simple. Amen? But I want you to understand something. And the reason why it's important to understand this is because this woman, according to the scripture, was weak and feeble. Right? This woman was not able to move around and do the things that we do right now. Where we can get up and walk around, touch what we want to, eat what we want. No, this woman with the issue of blood, when she lose so much blood, her body was so weak, she couldn't hardly move. But she put in her mind that if I can just get to it, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, if I can just touch his clothes, things will change in my life. I'm going to be healed. Amen? Watch this. This woman pressed forward, fighting through the crowd, fighting her physical limitations. All these obstacles that this woman was going through. All these things had became a distraction to her. But she was determined by faith just to touch him. Amen? In that 29th verse, we read, see the results of her faith. It says, as soon as she touched his coat, her bleeding stopped. She felt that her body was healed from all the suffering. That 30th verse reads, Jesus immediately felt power go out from him. So he stopped and turned around and said, who touched my clothes? The follower said to Jesus, there are so many people pushing against you. But you asked, who touched me? But Jesus continued looking for the woman who touched him. Now, I want y'all to understand that. Now, the disciples told Jesus, you got people touching all over you. And you are asking, who touched you? But what Jesus was trying to get his disciples to understand and us to understand, that it wasn't the people around him touching him that moved him. It was that woman's faith that made her be singled out from all the other people that was touching against him. Amen? I'm talking about this woman that was persevering because, first of all, she believed that if I can get to him, I can get this done. So she pressed through all the things she's pressing through, but I want y'all to see something now. Amen? He said in that 32nd verse, but Jesus continued looking for the woman who touched him. 33rd verse said this. The woman knew that she was healed. So she came and did what? Bowed at Jesus' feet. Y'all see that? She bowed just like Jairus did. She bowed at Jesus' feet. She submitted herself to his authority. Amen? She was shaking with fear. She told Jesus the whole story. We see that the woman achieved her goal. It was an instant result. However, as mentioned earlier, the result of her perseverance set off a chain reaction. It didn't just affect her. But it called the activation of the power of healing through the targeted focus of Jesus to become manifested. It made Jesus aware of her actions. Amen? In other words, her faith put her on Jesus' radar. Amen. Watch this. The knowledge of a healing caused this woman to come to Jesus and submit to his authority, much like Jairus. And got into a prostrate position as in submission, but there is something different. The scripture says she was shaking with fear. Jairus wasn't shaking with fear, but she was. This fear had come from what this woman was already subject to. The social pressures. The nature of this woman's illness fell under the stipulations of Leviticus 15. What she would have not been able to go around these people. You know why? Because she'll be pronounced unclean. She would be an outcast for 12 years. She couldn't take part in religious observations, nor could she have any public contact without defiling those whom she touched. Just her presence and action violated that. You have to understand something. When a woman is unclean around that time of the month, guess what? There was known as unclean, and anything they touched, they defiled it. Amen? This woman is going through her condition the way she was going through it. She touched all these people. But the thing that you must understand is that she went and touched the master by faith. Amen? Now watch this. Her faith in Jesus caused her not to be condemned. We see this in verse 34. When Jesus said to the woman, "Dear woman, you are made well because you believe. Go in peace, you will not suffer anymore." Why am I saying this? I'm telling you that you're going to need to surrender, submit to the authority that God has put in your life to get you where you need to get to. But you got to believe that what you're trying to accomplish is greater than yourself. Amen. I'm reminded of something that really touched my heart today. Well, I'm talking about this week. I was thinking about the Wright brothers over at Wilbur Wright. Now these people are credited with flying the first motorized airplane, right? But these people didn't get up and just put no airplane together. These people tried and failed and had other people out there doing the same thing. It was a war on trying to, and I mean by war, it was an airplane war. Where other people were trying to get to be the first one to build an airplane, a motorized airplane. Just like with ships, just like everybody has some type of way they're trying to get some stuff done first. Amen. These people came up with a motorized airplane. But guess what their occupation was? Anybody? Aviators that owned the bike shop. Amen. They weren't on bikes, right? But let me ask you this. What they did in being the first to bring forth a motorized airplane, how does it affect you getting from Dallas to New York? How does it affect you getting from Dallas to Europe? Amen. See that all the failure, all the trials and tribulations they were going through, all the perseverance, all the things they were going through to get this airplane where it needs to be, where they can fly this airplane. Who's it benefiting? Huh? They long gone. We still flying an airplane, aren't we? Amen. Why am I saying all this? I'm telling you that all the things that we're going through, all the things that you're trying to go through, keep in mind that it's just not for you. When you go out to set out to do something, do it so it can benefit others too. When you're long gone, guess what? People still benefiting from what you did. Amen. As we close, what must be emphasized in these two examples of Jairus and the woman with the issue of blood is that submission and faith is what must drive our perseverance. And this is not submission to just anyone or anything, but to the authority of our Creator. Trusting and understanding that we are not created for our own benefit or just our family benefit, but for the betterment of humanity. Amen. This is what these examples do for us. They help us to see how important it is for us to overcome our distractions. Because if we don't overcome our distractions, it's going to hinder what we're trying to get done, what God is trying to get done through us. Because whatever God is trying to get done through us, you best believe it's not just for us. It's for other people too. Amen? God hasn't given us a talent, a skill, or some purpose in life just to say, I got a purpose. I got a skill. No, this is to benefit somebody else too. Amen? I want to leave you with these passages as food for thought. Mark 5, 35, 36. While Jesus was still speaking, some men came to Jairus and told Jairus his daughter had died already and that he don't need to bother the teacher. That 36th verse says, but Jesus did not care what the men said. He said to the synagogue, "We do not be afraid, just believe. I'm telling you this morning, don't be afraid to give recognition to your distraction. Don't be afraid to give a targeted focus to the solution to your distraction. And don't be afraid to be submissive to God's authority in your life as you persevere in trying to overcome your distraction. Just believe that you can overcome your distraction." Amen. We will complete our final lesson in this series, How to Overcome Distraction, with the final pillar of compartmentalization. Until next time, may God continue to bless and keep you. Amen. Now may the grace of God, the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, let it rest, rule, and abide in us henceforth and forever. Let every child of God signify by saying, Amen.
Yeah, I want to talk about member services. Our member services were part of our church to make people feel they're loved, feel they're appreciated, respected. But also we want to be able to develop people, help them to find their purpose. We believe that every human being has a purpose. We're not just here just to dribble basketball or work behind the desk or drive a truck, whatever the occupation may be. We believe that humanity has a greater purpose in it. And so we want to be able to give people opportunity to come in and be a part of a family that's going to help them to become what God ordained them to be. That's what our mentorship is about.